From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he'd cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, an ordinance, and there he, God, he proved them. Israel has crossed the Red Sea. Here we see them singing the praises to Almighty God that had delivered them. As they get out into the wilderness, they go 3 days. Now, if you go a day without water, that's pretty extreme. 2 days, whatever supply they had, obviously, at this point was gone. 3 days in, now they've reached a point of desperation. So I can imagine when they come to Marah and here's this water, you have people, no matter how much control or the rules that have already been placed, when you have people in a desert 3 days, no water, I guarantee as soon as they saw water, there were people running out to get as much of a drink as they possibly could. But the waters were poisoned, the waters were bitter. Those that drank from it became sick. It says they were bitter. And in life, everyone is guaranteed to come to bitter waters. I would like to think maybe there was someone in this crowd that had never been bitter in their life. Maybe you could go to the nursery and find. Possibly not. I've seen some pretty angry and bitter babies. But maybe in this crowd you could find one or two that could claim innocence. But most of us at some point, because life will give us a million reasons to be bitter, it causes us to complain. And here's what God did. As soon as they came, and the people cried out, Moses prayed that God would provide a solution. The Bible says, verse 25, the Lord showed him a tree. And yes, I'm going to spiritualize. You know the thought, the spiritual concept here, the fact that God was telling Moses, you take the cross and you throw it in the bitter and it'll be made sweet. How many thankful for salvation, because there's some pretty bitter waters. The bitterness of the thought of going to hell, the lake of fire for all eternity. How many of you remember the conviction that you fell under in that bitterness of soul as you realize this is my destiny? And for some people, it was a bitter life, a bitter marriage, a bitter upbringing, a bitter past, and whatever you had to endure, or the abuse or the divorce or the problems, whatever background or family circumstance you came out of. I thank God that the cross can bring sweetness to bitterness. Can you imagine how full this room would be of bitterness if the cross had not been thrown into those waters? And bitterness over a lifetime just grows. And sometimes, even after salvation, we don't get cured of all bitterness. But boy, those bitter circumstances and that bitter heart and all that Satan did to poison that person or that marriage. And I've watched people. I'm talking about bitter, bitter people that have suffered extreme circumstances. Hating their past, hating their mother, hating their father, hating an uncle, hating their life, hating their teacher, hating, just full of hate. And someone sits down with the Bible, takes them through the gospel. And here's what the cross does. Here's what Calvary does. It brings in the concept of forgiveness. Isn't it good to be forgiven? To know every sin that has been committed, that brings sweetness to bitterness. You look forward to the future because you know that your past is under the blood, whatever bitterness of heart and mind and soul has been cleansed. Amen? And that cross and Calvary, that also includes grace. You know what sweetens bitter waters? Grace. Amen? Aren't you glad you experienced grace? Aren't you glad that God took something that you thought was impossibly bitter and made it sweet? But after salvation, life still holds circumstances that often cause bitterness. And even in the Bible, some of the greatest heroes of the faith and the people that we read about, if you truly study them, you'll find bitterness in their life. Sometimes it's written out in the book of Job. We see the word bitter 3 times. I know we exalt Job as a pretty good man, but somewhere along the way, as he was dealing with the loss of family and then friends, as they begin to attack him, and his health is shot, his world is falling in on him, and his wife said, just curse God and die. Somewhere in there, there was a little bit of, may have only been a day, may have been short-lived. We know he prayed in the end and got victory, but somewhere in there, there were some moments of bitterness. We know about Elijah in the cave, fleeing for his life and saying, just kill me, Lord. I just want to die. Just kill me. You know what that's caused by? Bitterness. The bitterness of expectations. You know one of the greatest causes of bitterness? The expectations that we put on people, and when people fail to meet those expectations, and they will always fail. People will always fail to meet our preconceived expectations. You better be careful, those of you that have your eyes on someone. I found the perfect person. They're perfect right now, but when you say your vows and move into the same house, you're going to realize you're not as perfect as you thought. You're not as perfect as your mother thought. You're not as, we won't even go there. Perfection ends. And sometimes bitterness starts. And here's the worst thing about bitterness. Usually the person with bitterness that swallowed that bitter water is the last one to even realize it, is the last one to admit it, the last one to even know that that root of bitterness is springing up and defiling them. Naomi in the Bible said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because life has dealt bitterly with me. God has dealt bitterly. And here's the problem with bitterness. Here's what we think, and here's usually how people address bitterness. Well, you're angry at that person. You're angry at that circumstance, and you're angry with life. No, no, the bottom line is bitterness is based on anger with God. And that's why it's so destructive, and that's why you can't grow, you can't go forward, you can't be used of God. Matter of fact, all you can do is have a negative impact on others when you're allowing bitterness in your life to affect what you do and the way you think and the way you operate. And here's what bitterness does. Bitterness sits around and waits for all the injustices that you have suffered for those people to come seek you out. Hands and knees, crawling on their face. Sackcloth and ashes on their body. Trembling souls, hearts, and lips. And then for them to confess, sobbing, I am so sorry. I am a beast. I'm a no good. I'm a worthless. And I just want you to wholeheartedly, if you can find it in your heart, to throw a scrap of mercy or grace in my direction. And because it never happens, the bitterness is never dealt with. They came to bitter waters. And I think you know this. All of us in life are going to come to places of bitterness. Maybe that's in a marriage. Maybe that's just life in general. Maybe that's because we suffered something we thought was an injustice. Maybe we didn't understand something that God was doing. It's amazing. The petty start of bitterness. We look back at that thing that we would say, that moment that triggered our bitterness. Usually, if we wrote it down and put it on the chalkboard and allowed everyone to discuss whether or not that should provoke bitterness, if we truly took a good look at it, we'd have to admit most things that make us angry Most things that turn into bitterness are really very pitifully small. And here's what man tries to do. Man tries to say, you know what, if you throw psychology into that bitterness, it'll fix it. If you take that person to a psychiatrist, that's going to fix the bitterness. If you just get the right counselor, you know, if you get together and you have a powwow, and, you know, if you go to a meeting and you hold hands, that's never fixed bitterness. You're going to have to throw the cross in those bitter waters to actually make them sweet. It's only God that can take bitter waters, poisoned waters, and make them sweet. It's amazing that I'm talking about Christians, that we do to try to sweeten up the waters. I've had people say, you know what, I'm just feeling tense and I'm feeling angry and I'm feeling a little bit bitter in my home and with my mate, and I think if we take a vacation, if I throw a vacation in the water, sweeten things up. How many notice that vacations don't sweeten the waters? You know what? Man comes up with all these crazy ideas when God said, my idea still works. And he pointed to Moses and he said, Moses, there's a tree over there. It's at your reach. You don't have to go far. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go far to find a solution to bitter waters? God is a God that's nigh at hand. And he said, I don't want you to live that way. I don't want you to live tormented. And I don't want you to live sleepless. And I don't want you drinking bitter waters. Christian. There is nothing more painful for a pastor than watching good people turn bitter. Going down and just gorging themselves on bitter water. Bitter at another church member. It's really bitterness with God. Bitter at the leader. Bitter at the pastor. Bitter at their mate. Bitter at this person and that person because they didn't say things right. They didn't do things right. They hurt me. They didn't care. They could have been more gentle. They didn't visit me. I never got a text. I never received a phone call. I'm habitually forgotten. They're cruel. They're mean. They're senseless. And listen, this is a generation that has been taught to be extremely sensitive. This is a generation that loves to be the victim and truly looks for a reason on a daily basis to be hurt. The previous generation was a group of soldiers. They could take a bullet to the chest and stand up and say, bring another one. That was a mentality. That's not this generation. Now they get hit with a rubber band and they're down for 10 days. Walk around with the chest package and ice and moan and groan and talk about how bad life is. Just a different generation. But regrettably, we have to admit to some degree, we are a product of our culture. And now we expect others to be politically correct enough that you never offend me. There was a generation that had hide as tough as a rhinoceros, and they just said, I'm not allowing anybody or anything to affect me in that way, but now if I don't get what I deserve, if they elect the wrong man as president, I'm going to be bitter. Be too bitter to go to class. I'm going to have to go see a psychologist. I'm going to have to take my pet to a psych because both of us have been hurt deeply. Now here's what I really don't understand. And I don't mean to be overly brutal in my honesty. I think I'm being biblical. I think if we've been saved and we've known the power of the cross and we've experienced the grace and peace and healing and forgiveness that comes by throwing the cross into that water, bitter water, and watching God bring peace, none of us as Christians should ever go long enough that we face the full consequence of bitterness. So many unnecessary things happen because Christians refuse to throw the cross in the water. Several here. We went to college together, and one of the young men that was in high school, about ready to graduate, growing up in a Christian home. Loud anger and frustration and bitterness so overwhelmed him that he walked out to a park and pulled out a stolen gun and put it to his chin and pulled the trigger. And he slumped down the base of that tree, and a mom and dad had to come and pick him up. He left a note behind to describe his bitterness. No Christian should ever take that path so long and drink so much of that water that they face the full consequence of bitterness. All of you know a story. All of you have seen, some of us have experienced in our own lives that we took the trail long enough and drank the water to such a degree that at some point we woke up and said, "What's wrong with me? Why am I acting like this? Why am I talking like this? Why am I thinking like this?" Bitterness will destroy all logic. Bitterness will cause you to have an unrefrained tongue. Bitterness will eat at your soul, destroy your sleep, warp your mind. And yet, when you've been on that trail, you almost become addicted to the drink. And the more you drink, the more you want, and you become an addict to bitter waters. God said the solution is still throw the cross in there. Because we know the cross, and we know that Jesus, undeserved, having committed no sin, is being mocked and beaten and stripped naked and hung on a cross, dying for someone else's sins. And then we know the words, Luke 23. "Father, forgive them." You know why we don't want to throw the cross into the equation? Because then we know we actually have to say those words. "Father, forgive him." And we don't want to forgive that person. Amazing. The high cost us our family, cost us our relationship, cost us our ministry, cost us our peace of mind. But so many, once they've taken the path, they're determined, "I don't care what it costs me. I'm not going to give up this bitterness. I refuse. I'm loving the pleasure of having a reason to express hate." Now, Christians tonight, if there's any one person out of the 7 billion on the planet, if there is any one person that you can't look in the eye and say with all your heart, "I love you, I forgive you, I want to show grace upon you," there's nothing there between me and you that would hinder our relationship. You've been drinking some bitter waters. Doesn't matter who they are, what they've done. Doesn't matter if you're right, they're wrong. Because the example is the cross, and he was right, and they were wrong. No one's ever been more right, and a group has never been more wrong than the group that we see at Calvary. Grace has never been offered on that level. Healing, total healing, peace, and forgiveness. And God still has the same remedy. Now, you know what? When there's real forgiveness, and you throw the cross in that water, that means you'll trust going back for another drink. Imagine those that drank and were poisoned and got sick. They said, "No, I'm not going back. I'm not going to drink that water. I can't trust that well. Not going to do it." You know what? When you've truly thrown the cross in the water, you have total confidence. God did not give them a new well. God did not provide for them a new source of water. He said, "I'm going to take this water, your water, right here, and heal it by putting the cross in it. And here's what we want. God, would you just take this person out of my life? God, would you remove this situation?" And God says, "No, you take the tree. You put it in the water. I'll heal the water, and you drink from the same source." You know what we like to do? "Oh, yeah, I threw the cross in it. I just can't speak to him anymore. I'm still sensing some bitterness in that water." You know what the cross does? The cross removes all bitterness. So if you're saying, I threw the cross in, I just can't go back to that water. I'm looking for a new source. I'm looking for a new pond. I want to find a new lake. I want to dig a new well. You know what God does? God says right there where you're at, same people in your life, same parents, same brothers, same boss, same wife, same children, same circumstance. I'm not moving you to a different river. Right here with the cross in this water, it's drinkable. And until you allow the cross to remove the bitterness, and you know it worked at salvation. Isn't it strange how we're willing to trust God at salvation and we accepted the cross and the forgiveness and the grace of salvation, but we don't want to extend that now that it, you know, when it was Godward in us receiving that grace and us receiving that forgiveness, we enjoyed that. But now when we have to throw the cross in there and extend the grace and extend the forgiveness, that's the concept we don't like. Moses, the solution's right there. You walk over there, you get that cross, you get that tree, you throw it in the water, you tell people to walk over and drink from right there. We just don't want to make ourselves that vulnerable. Now, here's what God desires. Look what it says, verse 27. They came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. You know what God wants to do? He wants to take man through forgiveness, lead them to Elim, lead them to an oasis. And here's what we don't understand. Forgiveness creates an oasis. Getting that cross in the water, this is God's plan. God says, listen, I'm doing this to prove you, but the bottom line is, I want you to live in a spiritual oasis. Here's when the Christian life becomes fantastic. When every time there's a little bit of bitterness in the water, you just throw the cross in there. You just throw forgiveness in there. You just throw grace in there. You just throw healing in there. And you just get in the habit. A little, you just throw the cross in there. And you know what? Throw the cross in there. But he said, throw the cross in there. But 20 years ago, throw the cross back in there. I'm still sensing a little bitterness. But Pastor, if you would, hurry up, get the cross in there. Now we do it with the unsaved. Here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to convince that lost boss or that lost uncle, your father, your mother. You're trying to convince that person you're so close to. You're saying, boy, all that bitterness that you're experiencing, it can be fixed in a moment. It can be fixed in a day. God can take care of that. He can bring forgiveness. Oh, if you just throw the cross in there. But the majority of us are saved. The cross hasn't lost its power. Wouldn't it be nice after you're saved, all the water that God ever put in front of you had not a drop of bitterness in it? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Have you ever been to a clear spring and had clean, fresh, cold water? That's what we want life to be like. No need for a purifier. God says, a lot of the water that you're going to deal with in life is going to be bitter. But beside every well, you have access to a cross. When you taste it and it's bitter, you throw the cross in it. Now, Christians, here's where your pastor's concerned. Some of you have had a lot of contaminated water in your life. Starting in your youth, maybe going through your teenage years. I'm not minimizing what anyone has suffered. I'm not minimizing what you're dealing with in your marriage. I'm not minimizing anything in your life. I'm just saying there is a solution. You don't have to stay sick. You don't have to stay bitter. And when I speak to people, and I do every day, my number one concern, someone that had enough bitter water that's given them a bitter soul, when God has said, I have an immediate remedy, a complete solution, you bring the cross into the equation and you'll say like he did, Father, forgive. I'm not living the life of a victim. I want to change sides and live the life of a victor. I'm not going to live pointing my finger. I'm not going to live angry. I'm not going to live always looking for an excuse. Now, here's what I know. In this group, there's more than a handful. The need to allow God tonight take that cross and bring some forgiveness and some grace and some healing. Well, you're going to live caught up in frustration and in bondage to someone that hurt you a year ago, a decade ago, and I just can't get up, and I just can't go on, and I just can't have victory, and these waters will always be murky. And God says, that's a lie of the devil. Life offers you bitter water, but I offer you sweetness. When you take that tree and you throw it in, I promise you those waters change from bitter to sweet. But you got to make a choice to cross that pond and grab that cross and say, I'm not going to live like this. When's the last time you can honestly say you lived an entire week with a smile on your face, no hurt in your heart? You didn't even think about that person one time. Not one time. No hurt, no pain, no frustration, no bitterness. You know how you did it? Put the cross in the water. And if you're tasting that bitterness every day, that is not God's will for your life. You want to fix that tonight. Say, God, that same forgiveness I experienced through Calvary, I want to experience again through forgiving, through offering grace, unmerited favor, undeserved grace. Undeserved forgiveness. I just want to heap it on them like you heaped it on me. Because I'm really needing some sweet water.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.